So last week we started this amazing series entitled Follow the Ark. Follow the Ark. And I want to again say it to you this morning, follow the Ark. Hallelujah. Do not follow the rumors. Do not follow the cracks. Follow the Ark, and you will surely reach where God wants you to reach. So last week we started with the first message on this series. It was entitled Put Everything in God's Hands. And I believe that's the best thing you and I can do when we've lost control, when we don't know what to do next. Just leave it in God's hands. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. You know, when he was about to leave this world, we saw last week, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And I want to say the same thing this morning. Father, into your hands I commit my life. I commit Alive Bible Church. I commit my family. I commit my finances. And can I tell you something? God never failed Jesus, you know. God never failed him. He committed his life into the hands of God. And God brought him back after 3 days, greater, stronger, with a name that was higher above every other name. I want to tell somebody watching this morning, you will come out stronger. You will come out wiser. And you will come out with a greater promotion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we want to continue following the ark. What is it all about, following the ark? Well, simply put, following the ark is following God. The ark represents the presence of God. So when we say follow the ark, Joshua was encouraging the people of Israel to follow the ark, meaning follow God, be where God is. The last thing I want with my life is to be where God is not. Following the ark is all about being in the perfect will of God for your life. I believe wherever the ark is, that is where God wants to be. And wherever God wants to be, that is where his will is. So when I'm following the ark, literally, this message is all about being in the will of God for your life, desiring to be only where God wants you to be. Hallelujah. And I also believe that one major important thing about this message, apart from being where God wants you to be in your life, is also doing what God wants you to do. Do you understand? Like, just be in the full of his will and just do his will. That is what this message is all about. This series is all about discovering the will of God, yes, for your life. But what I want to basically say is that we are after seeking the direction that only God provides. Like, we want to know where God wants us to go. And the reason why God is giving us this series is because, let's face it, we are going through a difficult time as a people, as a church, as a nation, and even as a world. It's difficult, and it's not just difficult in South Africa, it's difficult all over the world. And I believe that this message will be a blessing to your father. So you maybe want to call him to join you this morning. It will be a blessing to your mom and, you know, anybody that is connected to you, really, because I believe we have all reached that stage where we want to know what's going to happen next. What is the next step to take? And last week we saw that only God knows your next step. And that's why it's important to follow God, to seek his will for your life. And I pray that his will be made known to you clearly. Like, you will know what God wants you to do. That is actually success. Success is finding the will of God and doing the will of God. That's all. So this morning, we want to continue in the same line of following the ark. And the subtitle that we're working with this morning is Seeking Divine Guidance. Seeking divine guidance. Last week we saw putting everything in God's hands. This morning we're going to learn about the importance of seeking divine guidance. And I'm taking my reading from the book of Isaiah 8, verse 19. The Bible says, someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing somebody this morning. I pray that the eyes of somebody will open, the mind of somebody will come alive, and your instructions will get through us clearly this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, indeed, we're talking about seeking divine guidance. Because I believe that God can guide us. And we should seek guidance from the Lord. Now, the verse we've just read is quite interesting how it starts. I'm reading here from the New Living Translation. It says, someone may say to you, do you realize that when it comes to going to consult sangomas and, you know, going to, even when it comes to even going to church, there is always somebody that is advising somebody else. I have never met somebody who went to, I mean, I've heard many stories about people who went to see a witch doctor. Very rarely do they go by themselves. It's always somebody who tells them, I know a place. And you don't you see that it is just fulfilling the scripture? The Bible says that someone may say to you, my prayer is that you will not be that someone to somebody. Amen. And that you are advising somebody to go and consult witch doctors in a time like this. Because that's what happens with us. The moment things start going wrong, the moment we start losing control, we start wanting to know what to do, and we become vulnerable to the advice of just about anybody. My prayer is that you will not fall for that. And that's why God sent me today. I'm the other someone who wants to direct you the other way. Hallelujah. So someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whispering and muttering, they will tell us what to do. Now, that's exactly one of the reasons why people go to consult sangomas. They want to know what to do. I want to give you about 6 reasons why people consult. Number one, people consult because they want to know what's going on. When I don't know what's going on in my family, in my finances, in my marriage, I go to consult to know what's going on. That's the number one reason why people go to consult. Yeah. It's to know what's going on. Number two, people consult to know what to do. You see, they want to know what to do. Number three, they want to decide which way to go. They're not sure which way to go. So they feel the need. So human beings have always needed help from another source. Yeah, it's always been there. Another reason, to find out who's responsible for their problems. You get it? Like, we go to find out who is behind this whole thing. And that is usually where most of these, you know, sangomas and witch doctors, they feed on that your desire to want to know who is responsible, because we always want to find somebody to blame for what is going on. And then they will tell you there's a dwarf that is standing by your right-hand side. And that dwarf is holding two eggs. He's eating one. And the one he's eating is your life. He's eating like that. Oh, my God. Then you start shaking like a leaf under the influence of electricity. All right. Another reason why people consult is to try and influence future events. You get it? Like, people try to go and find out if they can change something that is, the sense is coming. That's why people consult. And you could be in one of these reasons right now, you watching me this morning. There could be something that is going on. Maybe there is the issue of our nation and the uncertainty of your future and what is going on in our system can cause you to want to go and find out, are you going to be retrenched? Are you going to lose your job? And if you lose your job, what's going to happen next? Do you get it? So those are the challenges that you and I are faced with right now. And we need the grace of God to help us. Hallelujah. Now, the same verse where somebody came to suggest that we must go and consult the dead, the Bible says in the same verse, the question is asked, but shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Shouldn't people ask God for guidance? People need to ask God. So, according to this verse, we need to seek guidance not from man, not from the dead, but from God. Shouldn't people ask God for guidance? And that's the question I want to ask you this morning. Who should guide us? Who should guide you? Shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? My prayer is that you will realize that a living dog is better than a dead lion, according to the word of God. So a living that goes to seek help from the dead is lost. Because once you are dead, you are dead. That's just the way it is. There's a reason why you are still breathing. And the person you are going to ask for help, who is already dead, he can't breathe the way you are breathing. So you should just realize that it's just deceptions. Hallelujah. So the Bible is suggesting that we should seek guidance from God. And I want to bring the same suggestion to you this morning, that I want to bring the same admonition to you, that whatever you are faced with today, God has an answer for it. And we should seek our direction, our guidance, like what to do next, which step to take, what to do, what's going to happen. That we should seek it not from man, but from God. Hallelujah. And as you know, I've been teaching this way for a while now. I like giving you a few reasons why you should do something. So this morning, quickly, let's look at 5 reasons why you should seek divine guidance. 5 reasons why you should seek divine guidance. You need divine guidance for your life. I promise you. You need guidance. But I'm suggesting this morning that you should seek divine guidance, not just any type of guidance. Divine guidance. Hallelujah. Number one, seek divine guidance because only God knows the future. Only God knows the future. I'm not saying that, listen, only God really knows the future. And I know we've got mediums, we've got horoscope, we have all these things that are also there. Those are unauthorized sources, which comes with a lot of consequences. You must be aware of that. Uh-huh. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 7, the Bible says, since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? Since no one knows the future. No, according to this verse, no one knows the future, including that person you are intending to go and ask to tell you what to do. No one knows the future. I'm giving you the first reason is that only God knows the future. Now, Ecclesiastes 8 verse 7 says, since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? Now, I like the rendering, the same verse in the New Living Translation. It says, indeed, how can people avoid what they don't know is going to happen? How can people avoid what they don't know is going to happen? Do you understand? Like, how can you, and you know, if you are really on earth, you will know that many times you will be sleeping on your bed and say, hey, I wish I knew that this is what was going to happen. I wish I knew that this was what was going to happen to me. By the time you are wishing, it has already happened. Yeah. That's why we need divine guidance. Because how can people avoid what they don't know is going to happen? They can avoid it by seeking divine guidance. Because if you seek divine guidance, you will end up knowing what is going to happen. And that is what we find in Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 10. The Bible says, remember the things I have done in the past. For I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me. Hallelujah. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. This is the living God speaking. He says, only I know the future. So that's what I'm saying. I know we've got the mediums, they claim to know. They don't know nothing. And they prove that they don't know nothing and they know no Nero. Where were they when Corona arrived? How come they didn't tell us? How come they didn't advise the government? We don't know. We don't know. I mean, the reality is that even prophets run, everybody's quiet. We have all become very quiet. Because none of us knows the future, my friend. We only know what he allows us to know. When he is gracious to us, he allows us to know one or two things. And the Bible says that we don't even see clearly. Do you understand? We don't see exactly what is going on. So he says, only I can tell you the future. What a scripture. Only I, not me and others, only I can tell you the future before it even happens. That's the first reason why I believe you should seek divine guidance. Because God is the one who can really tell you what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Number two, the second reason why I believe you should seek divine guidance is because only God knows the plans. You see, only God can tell you the future, and only God knows the plans. And there's a very famous scripture, I'm sure you know it, Jeremiah 29 verse 11. The Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you." I know the plans. You know, I was trying to build something a while back, and then we employed somebody to design the plans for us. You know, I realized that until we got the plans, I couldn't build. I couldn't, even though I knew what I wanted to do, but without the plans, I couldn't make the next move. I couldn't know even where to start. When you don't have the plans, you can build. And the Bible here says, God is speaking, he says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." That's him speaking. "Plans to prosper you," hallelujah, "and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So these are futuristic plans. And God is the one who knows them. Now, here's the difficulty, is that you don't know what he knows. He says, "My ways are higher than your ways, and so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So God has plans, and he knows the plans he has for you. The problem is you don't know those plans. And you are trying to live out those plans. You are trying to fulfill those plans, but you don't know what they are. That's why you should not seek guidance from anybody except from the person with the plans. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So make sure this morning that you realize that, I mean, this is not just a message to make you feel, this is actually very serious. You need to realize that if God does not help you and me, we live our life as lost creatures. You need to be in the will of God for your life to have any meaning so ever. Now, how do I discover those plans? The next verse tells us. He says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will answer to you. I will listen to you," says the Lord. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You see, most people only know Jeremiah 29 verse 11. But Jeremiah 29 verse 11 also needs verse 12 and verse 13 before it can materialize. God is saying that for you to know those plans, for me to unveil those plans to you, number one, you have to come and pray to me. That is your consultation. You have to come and consult. So already I can begin to give you keys that unlock divine guidance. One of them is the key of prayer. The key of prayer, the same Jeremiah 33 verse 3, the Bible says, "Call unto me and I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things, things you do not know." So one of the keys to unlock divine guidance is prayer. Prayer, spending time with God. Now he says that you will seek me. Now you see, divine plans are not given, they are sought. They are sought. You have to seek. So you have to be desperate to know what God's plans for your life are. What is the future? What is God saying? He said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." What is this? We speak about desperation. Desperation. You have to be desperate to see God in your life. If you are not desperate, you will never see anything great from God. You will never see it. So I want to challenge you today, desire to be desperate as far as the things of God are concerned. If you really want to know His will and His plans for your life, be desperate for it. Desire it with all your heart. Desire it passionately, and it shall surely come to pass. God will reveal it to you. Hallelujah. Now let's go quickly to step number three. The third reason why I believe, you need to be guided divinely. Number three, we have vital decisions to make every day. There are vital decisions that some of us have to make next week or this week. Vital decisions. And you see, you need guidance to know what is the right decision to make. The Bible says in the book of Joel chapter 3 verse 14, thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. There the day of the Lord will soon arrive. We are waiting in the valley of decision. The valley of decision. I want to challenge you to know that there is something called the valley of decisions. And many people, the Bible says thousands upon thousands are waiting at the valley of decision. Once you don't know what to do next, you will be waiting. It's a waiting time until you know what to do. Until you know what to do. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, the Bible says, today I have given you the choice between life and death. So a choice can produce life, or a choice can produce death. A decision I'm making today can lead to life or it can lead to death. And we are confronted with those decisions right now. Some of us are deciding, and the things you are deciding today is actually a matter of life or death. Between blessings and curses. Some of the decisions you're going to make next week are going to either produce a blessing or a curse. And that's why we need divine guidance to assist us. Hallelujah. You cannot know already by yourself that this, most people that decide, and that is going to be actually our third point. But before we go there, he keeps on saying here that, now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you will choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Another point to see here is that your decisions affect generations after you. What you are deciding right now, you might be deciding just because of the heat of the moment, but that decision is going to impact your children and their children's children. That's why it's important to not just decide, to take time to think and to seek God, to know the will of God regarding that thing before you make that decision. I believe there are many people that are dead today simply because they made the wrong decision. For example, a decision to date the wrong person brought them to their grave. That's as simple as that. You just dated the wrong person, and because of that, you actually dated your executor. The person you dated moved from being your lover to becoming your executor. He brought you to your grave. So, but the day you were making that decision, I'm sure you thought you were deciding something good, but it brought death. It brought death. May you never see that type of thing happen to you in the name of Jesus. Now, we are going to reason number four. I'm giving them to you quickly because I really want us to maybe pray towards the end. So, God can help you. Amen. Now, number four, not all that glitters is gold. Not all that glitters is gold. That's the fourth reason why you need to seek divine guidance, because not everything that looks shiny is gold. Proverbs 14 verse 12, the Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Not all that glitters is gold. And if you've been on earth for a while, I'm sure you have seen things that look very nice until you get close. Until you get close. And sometimes by the time you are close, it's too late to reverse. It's too late to reverse. Not all that glitters is gold. That's why you need divine guidance to know the real thing, to know exactly what you are dealing with. How many people have made decisions and the decisions were glitterish when they were making them, only to find out that they have made one of the most damn decisions of their lives? And I call to your remembrance, the first one to find herself in such a situation was Eve. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, when Eve, the woman, saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food. You see, Eve was not tempted with something that was bad. Do you understand? The Bible says that the tree was good. It was good for food, number one. It was pleasing to the eye. It was glitterish. It was pleasing to the eye. And also desirable for gaining wisdom. See, there were three things that were kind of good about that fruit. First of all, it was good for food. Number two, it was pleasing to the eye. Number three, it was desirable. In other words, it was tempting. It was attractive. So all those three elements brought Eve. The Bible says she took some and she ate. Not all that glitters is gold. She didn't know that there was a bitter taste after that first bite. And she gave to her husband. He also ate. And we all know the story. We are still suffering the consequences of that one bite today. That one bite, we are still suffering the consequences of that one bite today. Yeah. But it looked nice when Satan presented it to them. The same thing happened to Job. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 13 verse 10, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. He saw a nice, well-watered plain. When he looked at it from far, it looked nice. But the Bible says, that was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So what he was gazing at was actually Sodom and Gomorrah, but it was just before the destruction. He was looking at something that looked so great and so nice, but unknown to him, that thing he was looking at was on the line for destruction. It was on the line for the judgment from God. I wish Lot had prayed and asked God, which way do I go? I'm sure Lord is going to tell him, it looks good, but that's not the way to go for you. I wish Eve had made a small prayer, Lord, the snake is saying, you are lying. What do I do? I'm sure God was going to give a direction. But Eve trusted her judgment. But the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man. You see, many of you watching this morning, there are things you are doing right, and they seem right. They seem right. Like this is the right thing to do right now. This is the right decisions to make. This is the right direction to go. It seems right. It seems right. Just because it seems right doesn't mean it is right. It doesn't mean it is right. So how do you know whether it is right or not right? That's why you need divine guidance. You need God to help you. Because it must seem right, but it is right to help. Or it might seem right, but not right for you. For you, it will become something else. My prayer this morning is that what is not yours, you will escape from it. Hallelujah. Anything that God did not appoint for you, I pray for you today that it will not see you in the name of Jesus. That you will only be drawn to things that God has appointed for your life. Don't be attracted by the glitter and the shine. Those things will fade away like you can't believe it. Many people are struggling today. But when they started the thing, it looked like it was going to work. How many people went to work for some places and they were promised this, until they entered there, they realized that they were in the doom and gloom. May God help us. The last reason why I believe that you should seek divine guidance, because only divine guidance guarantees success. I cannot guarantee success in any other way. It's only in divine guidance that I can guarantee that if you follow divine guidance, you will succeed every single time. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 5, the Bible says, Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. As long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. As long as you seek guidance from God, you will enjoy success every day of your life. That is just a fact that God will never mislead you. He loves you. But you need to go seek guidance from Him. Not from Sangomas. Not from your best friend.
not from somebody that seems to be succeeding. Listen to me. Just because somebody seems to be succeeding doesn't even mean that he's successful. Sometimes most of these people are actually full of debts. They're owing a lot of money to the banks. They look successful, but they are not successful at all. They are not successful. So don't let them misguide you. The only source that is relevant that I can suggest to you this morning, as we are going through this pandemic and we have hard decisions to make, is that seek success from God. Seek direction from God. Seek your counsel from God. Learn to hear from God. Learn to seek God. I mean, you are saying that, no, I don't know how God talks. But you, the person who gave you ears and a mouth, he can't talk. But he gave you ears. He created you with ears, but he cannot talk to you. No, something is wrong. Something is wrong somewhere. He says, seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Many of us sometimes we are not seeking with all our hearts. We are not seeking fully. We are just seeking because pastor says, okay, let me try. But your heart is not there. I want to tell you that if you are genuine about wanting to know the will of God, you will know the will of God. God will speak to you. I want to talk to a mother listening this morning. Listen to me. God wants to speak to you. I know the situation is very tough right now, but God can talk to you. God has a word for you. God knows exactly where you should go, who you should talk to. But you need to stop running around town. You need to stop checking everything else. Concentrate. The Bible says, enter your room and call on the name of the Lord. He will answer you. He will answer you. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 8, the Bible says, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue the raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue, he answered. You will certainly overtake and succeed in the rescue. Hallelujah. David succeeded in his life because he kept inquiring. David kept asking God, should I go? Should I go? Should I go? Should I go? Hallelujah. It's important to prepare. It's important to study. It's important to put your stuff out there, but it's important to know that the only man that brings success is God himself. After your preparation, after all these things you are doing, you should seek his counsel. David had an army. And David could have said, no, I have an army. Let me pursue them. Having an army is not a guarantee that you're going to win the war. Even with the army, you still need divine guidance. David had already killed Goliath, but even after you have had a previous success, it is not a guarantee that the next battle will be a success again. So you need to go to the same God and ask him, no, I know you will help me kill Goliath, but now I'm faced with another enemy. What should I do this time? David continued to inquire. So it is continual seeking God's guidance that will bring continual success in your life. Continue seeking. Don't assume that because you won yesterday, you're going to win today. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 21 verse 31, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Yes, listen, the horse is ready to fight, but just the fact that the horse is ready doesn't mean you're going to win. You need God to tell you how you're going to win. So the horse is prepared for battle. I'm not saying you shouldn't prepare yourself, but I want you to know that the actual victory is going to come from the Lord. I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to check what is going on. The Bible says that my people are disturbed because of lack of knowledge. Try to know as much as you can, but don't know everything and you fail to know the voice of God. Because the voice of God is the voice of victory. Success comes when you hear him. When he told David, go. Everything had to honor that order. So David went and David won. Hallelujah. The good news this morning is that God wants to guide you. And God can guide you. Psalm 32 verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. This is God speaking. Say, I'm going to teach you. Do you know that God has a class just to teach you where to go? I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. But now here's the catch. Do not be like the horse or the mule or the donkey, if you prefer, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridles, or they will not come to you. As I'm closing, God is revealing to us that there are two types of people.
when it comes to divine instructions, two types of people. There are donkeys and there are horses.
Donkeys, when they see that this is the direction God wants them to go, they don't follow it. They take their time. Too slow to move. They know, like they already said that this is where God wants me to go. But they are just too slow to make the move. So the question this morning is, are you a donkey type? And the other type is the horse type. The horse is the total opposite. The horse, before God is done speaking, he's already shooting. Like he hasn't even received the information properly. Like he hasn't heard, hey, he's already galloping. And he gallops straight to the pit. Because even though that was the direction, maybe that was not the right time. So those are the type of people, when it comes to divine guidance, God has to deal with these types of people. Some of them are too slow and some are too fast. So my prayer this morning is that you will be just at the right temperature. So it's important to know where to go, but it's also important to know when to go. What time? So allow God to take you through the process. The Bible says that in the fullness of time, God allowed his son to come to this world. People were dying before Jesus came, but God did not rush Jesus. There is a time called the perfect time. So you need to allow God to operate what he has to do. And sometimes you want God to change the circumstances. Meanwhile, God is trying to change you. So you will want to change things, but God is not interested in changing anything. In fact, he will keep it rolling that way and even more until you and I change. In this church, I have taught you many times, when you change, everything changes. When you change, when I change, everything changes. So the change is not always the change of the economy. Sometimes it is the change of our hearts. Human beings have become more greedy, more wicked. And sometimes these judgments are passed on us to humble us. So that we can remember our creator, our maker. Hallelujah. So the good news this morning is that God wants to instruct you in the way you should go. And I want to encourage you to not miss next week. Because next week now I'm going to start taking you through how God does that. What are the ways through which God encourages us? How does God guide us? You will see it will be beautiful for you. Hallelujah. This morning I just wanted to show you 5 reasons why you need divine guidance. And I even gave you one key already. I told you about prayer. God says, come and pray. I will listen and I will guide you. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call unto me. I will answer. Hallelujah. God is going to answer you in the name of Jesus. I came to tell you this morning that you don't need to waste money with sangomas. You don't need to waste your time and your air time. Use your knees and your mouth. God gave you 2 knees and God gave you a mouth. Use them effectively and you will come out of every challenge you have ever found yourself into. By the power of God, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can think or ask. Right now, I want you to stand right wherever you are. Everybody stand on your feet right now. And I want you to start asking God to help you today. Father, I want to start seeking divine guidance. I don't want to continue following my own way. And maybe this morning you are listening to me and it seems like you are a horse. You always rush before you receive the full instruction. Or maybe you are like a donkey. Even when the instruction is clear, you are always afraid. You still don't feel like it's time for you to go. You still wait for time. And meanwhile, the time is up. I ask you now, let's begin to pray. Ask God to help you. Because the decisions you're about to make and the decisions that are ahead of you are vital. They are life-changing. And you cannot make those decisions haphazardly. You need to have guidance from God. And God wants to help somebody. Come on, open your mouth in your stream side, in your home. Lord, help me today. Lord, stretch your hand and sustain me. Help me to begin to seek you, to not just rush out there, to not consult. And those of you that have been consulting, you know, sangomas and all of those things, listen, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to show you a better way. Seek God. God has a better plan for your life. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you are reading palms. You are depending on the horoscope. Listen, God is the greatest revealer healer of the future you have ever seen in your life. Call on him. Call on him. He will answer you. He promised to answer. He says, if you call, I will answer. I will show you great and mighty things. Things you do not know. Things you do not know. There are many things you do not know. There are many things I do not know. We need to call on him. Don't call on your neighbor. Don't call on the Sangoma. Don't call on your friends. Don't even call on your husband or your wife. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for your presence this morning. That is healing. Thank you for healing us this morning, Lord. Thank you for comforting our souls to realize that you are willing to show us what to do. I will show you which way to go. I will guide you. I will direct you. There is somebody watching me right now. You need divine guidance. You need to know which way to go. And I came to give you the key. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the Lord. He will answer you. If you do it sincerely from your heart, he will speak to you through a dream. He will send somebody to talk to you. You will know it's him. He will lead you. He will lead you. But more than anything else, his spirit will lead you, will guide you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. And right now, in every stream side, every standing, wherever you are hearing me speak this morning, and you are like, wow, I want to hear God. Let me tell you something. The voice of God is not for special people. The voice of God is not for some special, big, anointed pastors. The voice of God is for every one of his children. The Bible in the book of John 10, 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. My sheep hear my voice. So the qualifications to hear God's voice is to become a sheep. Become a sheep. If you are a sheep, you will hear his voice. That is the first thing that happens when you become a sheep, is that you hear the voice of your shepherd. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. The question this one is Jesus your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Whose voice are you listening? Who is leading you? He says, he leads me beside the still waters. I want to lead you in a prayer that will make you to become a sheep. Because it's only when you are a sheep that you can hear the voice of Jesus. If you want to surrender your life to him today, say, Lord, I want to become a sheep. I want to become one of the sheep in your flock, because I want to hear your voice. Maybe you've been going to church, but are you a sheep? Let's pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen.